Hey there, it's your happy Asian woman host, Alice Chen. Do you know any teens who are feeling overwhelmed with the college admissions process? If so, send them my way. I run Bright Story Admission Consulting, a boutique company that focuses on college application essays. A little about me. I'm a Stanford grad, a professional journalist, and I also coach other essay coaches. I love teaching people how to write, and I'm so thrilled when my students get into schools that they love, like Stanford, MIT, and the UCs. Learn more about my company at brightstory.info. Welcome to Happy Asian Woman, a show to help Asian American women find more joy in love, work, and life. I'm your host, Alice Chen, a professional journalist and entrepreneur. I've also been married for almost 15 years, and I'm the mother of two young girls. If you want to build more community, come join our supportive Facebook group. The link's on my website, www.happyasianwoman.com. Hi, everyone. I'm thrilled to have Regina Chow Trammell, PhD, LCSW, on the show today to talk about Christian mindfulness. I'm a Christian, and I found that during the pandemic, when we switched to Zoom for everything from church to Bible study, it's been harder for me to sense God's presence in my everyday life. That's why I'm really curious about this idea of Christian mindfulness. Dr. Regina is an associate professor in the Master of Social Work program at Azusa Pacific University. She researches Christian mindfulness for stress management. Dr. Regina has a new book coming out called A Counselor's Guide to Christian Mindfulness: Engaging the Mind, Body, and Soul in Biblical Practices and Therapies. The book is coming out on September 14 and is being published by Zondervan HarperCollins Christian. Dr. Regina has spent more than a decade in private practice and also has experience in psychiatric and medical social work settings. She's married, has two sons, and enjoys yoga, skiing, and traveling with family. Dr. Regina, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Alice. And thanks for the community that you've built with Happy Asian Women Podcast. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. I love your Instagrams and your own sharing too. And I've learned so much from you. So I'm excited to learn more.
Oh, thank you.
So how would you define mindfulness?
So great question. So when we think about mindfulness, it's actually a lot of historical and really relevant to your community as well. So when we think about mindfulness in general, it comes from Buddhism. So it comes from there's four noble truths in Buddhism. And then one of the truths, there's eight different practices, essentially eight paths. Okay. And one of the paths is mindfulness. Mm-hmm. And so the short answer to that is the awareness of the present moment with non-judgment. And that actual definition, the awareness of the present moment with non-judgment, comes from this researcher named Dr. Jon Kabat-Zinn, who really studied Buddhism and kind of brought that to the West. Mm-hmm. And started using that in kind of a medical care setting. So that's my long answer, but the short of it is simply, if you want to think about mindfulness as more like just awareness, being open to the present moment.
Mm-hmm. So how would you define Christian mindfulness then?
Yeah, so as Christians, obviously we have a differing worldview, right? So in terms of Buddhism, we really think about kind of awareness in this sort of, you know, what we talk about now a lot in universalism, in the now. If a lot of your listeners listen to kind of secular or spiritual resources, we think about manifesting or just being aware, right? But for Christians, I think what we understand and know is that we have a relationship with God who is present. Mm-hmm. And so in the book that I wrote, we kind of tweaked this definition that I offered earlier to the active presence of God, right? Being able to make time to turn our whole attention to God so that we could abide by his voice. And by that abiding, we can listen to his voice, be aware of that voice, be aware in the present moment. And that's going to be above the chatter and stress of our lives. Alice, you mentioned this past year, the pandemic, how much stress all of us have been under.
Yes.
Right. So sometimes as a Christian, and we think about Christian mindfulness, we need that active presence of God in our lives. We can't always pull ourselves out, right? We can't pull ourselves out of our mental bootstraps, so to speak. We need a helper. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I'd incorporate that.
Yeah. And I want to jump in. This is a question I had because sometimes, you know, I do yoga and things like that. And, you know, some Christians have said, well, yoga is not really Christian. It has its roots in something else. And same with mindfulness, being in rooted in Buddhism. Like, how would you address those people who are saying, well, it's not a Christian thing. You shouldn't be doing that because then you can open yourself up to other influences. And yes. What would you say to that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think here's the sad part of that answer is, I think as Christians, if we think about how we were raised, how we were taught in terms of our faith, it's very much cut off from these ancient practices that really go back centuries. Mm-hmm. So within the Christian tradition, we have not been educated about some of these mindful practices. So we have them that are just as ancient as Buddhist mindfulness. We just have lost touch mm-hmm. in our kind of modern society. So things like centering prayer, Lectio Divina, even just breath prayers, we can look to, you know, Protestants obviously branched out of Catholicism, but you can even look beyond before that and look at the Orthodox tradition. And if you look at the Orthodox tradition, there's a ton of these kind of practices. Breath prayer is this idea of knowing God, understanding God through the present moment. These are not Buddhist thoughts. I would say as Christians, I would encourage Christians who are skeptical to really study Christian history, and then you'll see those roots more clearly.
So you're saying that there's actually like Christian mindfulness practices as well, but the definition you gave was from Buddhism, but it also exists in Christianity.
Exactly. Okay. So basically the context of what we learn about mindfulness nowadays, right?
That's true.
Is always referenced to Buddhism. So I don't want to neglect that, but I also want to say as Christians, part of us not knowing about that history is being cut off. So bringing that back to the forefront, you know, obviously that takes all of us to do that. And so Christian mindfulness exists, and Christian mindfulness, you don't have to enter into a Buddhist worldview in order to practice mindfulness at all.
Right. I mean, definitely in scripture, they talk about like meditating on God's word and things like that. So I agree with you. And so, but you know, there are people out there who are concerned. So get this out of the way. So why would you say that Christian mindfulness is important for happiness? You actually said mindfulness is like taking a brain bath. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah. So if we think about, let's start with stress, right? And a lot of the stresses that we carry, a lot of maybe even some of the emotional dysregulation we've experienced in our own lives. Maybe it's juggling work and being with children all at home recently. It's worrying about masks and vaccinations, right? There's a lot of mental energy that I just remember at the start of the pandemic last year, around springtime, just going grocery shopping was so exhausting. And that's because there's so many decisions that are happening in your head. Not only do I have to look, you know, pick the cereal because there's like 100 different cereals, but I have to look for the person in the aisle, all that stuff. So when I think about mindfulness and the beauty of this practice is that it really does calm that kind of emotional franticness that happens, because the emotions are not just seated in our bodies, but it's also in our cognitive realm. So when we think about mindfulness, it's really doing, a lot of researchers talk about this, and I've done some studies where we can show some of the effects on our body of stress and then the effects on our body with mindfulness. So it just brings things down a notch. It really calms the brain. To me, the reason why I say it felt like a brain bath is because it literally does. If I have a very cluttered mind, I can sit in mindfulness. I ask God to just be with me. I'm meditating on his presence. I'm mindful of him. I understand he's mindful of me. And it literally just clears all that mental gunk away.
Yeah, I get it. I feel that way sometimes after yoga. I just feel much more peaceful because I'm just focusing on a pose instead of like my to-do list.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Like really relaxing. And then I just feel happier. So I'm really excited. And how did you come up? I mean, what generated your own interest in mindfulness out of everything you could have been researching and studying? Why is this sort of your passion?
Sure. So, you know, I, as a psychotherapist, I had been learning about mindfulness probably about a decade and a half ago. It was starting to kind of come into the professional realms and doing some workshops and attending them, but noticing that it was very Buddhist based and being a Christian, not feeling comfortable with all the practices, really feeling like, okay, this isn't quite hitting me where I need it. And then having clients, just feeling like I didn't have that background, right, that I just talked about. So that's how I got into my Christian mindfulness. I actually started my PhD and dove into that literature and dove into Christian history to kind of unearth, okay, there is a mindfulness practice that's rooted in Christianity. Also at the time, I was undergoing a lot of personal stress. I was, you know, away from home, married, little kids. It was just a really stressful time.
Yeah.
And so using mindfulness and learning about it, not just at a cognitive intellectual research level, but then practicing it myself for self-care and then extending that practice to my work with clients. It was just full circle. So I really, I finished my PhD pretty quickly, to be honest. And I think I was able to manage that. And I really credit the mindfulness, Christian mindfulness practice to help me get through all that time as well.
That's awesome. I'm glad. I had no idea you did your PhD on it. And so that's so great.
Yes.
It makes sense. I can't believe people haven't been doing more of this. So I'm excited to hear more from you. So you mentioned that you run a support group for Asian Christian women regarding identity. So what sort of like primary issues do you support with identity? And this is a two-part question. So, and the second part is, how is Christian mindfulness helping them?
Yeah, absolutely. So this support group actually just ended this week.
Okay.
And it came out of, you know, this movement, right? Again, for supporting Asian women.
Right.
And so I connected with Asian Mental Health Collective and we, you know, kind of talked about this need, right? And especially there was a lot of, if you remember the Atlanta shootings, a lot of discussion about the perpetrators' religious background.
Yes.
And that being pitted against, right, our community as Asian women.
Yeah.
And that really made me angry, to be honest, Alice. And so that really propelled me to really want to give of that time and help. I unpacked some stuff through that, had conversations again, really wanted to understand how, you know, this is racialized trauma. If you think about this. And so
what do you mean? What's racialized trauma?
Yeah. So trauma that's directly related to us as in our race or ethnicity or being attacked for our race and ethnicity and culture. So, you know, that group was great. We unpacked a lot about, these kind of identity and these kind of traumas. And so
what do you mean unpacked? Like you guys shared about it or how do you define? Tell me more.
Well, it's a support group. So I do want to be very mindful of the fact that there were ladies in there who I don't want to share their stories, but I'll share mine, which is, you know, really creating a community where Asian women and particularly Asian Christian women could connect and talk about those various intersections, right? Which is, what is it like to be a female and also Asian and maybe even Asian American and the uniqueness of that? Because as Asian American women, we aren't, here's the mindfulness piece. I think sometimes we sort of, you know, have learned assimilation as survival. And so we just kind of do it, but we're not aware, right? And we've become more aware of how these behaviors and patterns and ways of thinking and being affect us emotionally and affect our community. So that's the beauty of Christian mindfulness, that it's not just about us. you know, it's not just about self-care and this commercialized view mm-hmm. of mindfulness mm-hmm. that's all about wellness and capitalist wellness, but it's about how can I be well so that that's going to extend out, right? So I could be a better mom, mm-hmm. so I can be there for my Asian women community, like you are doing, so that I can be a resource, because I know that in the present moment, God is infinite, right? He has infinite resources. Mm-hmm. So we can rise above our stress. We don't have to be alone in it. Mm-hmm. And so there's a collectivist, I think more of a collectivist mindset when we incorporate Christian mindfulness into talking about these ideas of identity. Mm-hmm. A quick exercise that I asked some of the support group members to do was to look at everyone on the Zoom screen, mm-hmm. take a minute, breathe, drink in our faces, mm-hmm. how beautiful our faces were, you know, because so often we're taught, you know, we're kind of put in a box. Yeah. Are you Korean? Are you Japanese? You know, guessing. Mm-hmm. And then our eye shape. Right. And then the structure of our faces.
Right.
And so it's kind of a quick mindful practice to look in the mirror maybe and see, appreciate, be aware in this moment of the genetics, of the heritage of our ancestors who mm-hmm. shaped our eyes, right? Who help us understand who we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds really powerful. I mean, I think you kind of hit it on the head. I feel like it's a hard time to be an Asian Christian woman mm-hmm. right now because of everything that's going on with like, well, there was Me Too, there's like the anti-Asian stuff. And there has been, I feel like sometimes the things involving race, sometimes the people who have been like perpetrators or, you know, the people who stormed the Capitol, they had like the signs like Jesus lives and things like that. And it's just so hard to feel like you're a Christian. And then it seems like these Christians are doing things that are really hurtful. So it's like within the same community. And then I feel like it can cause like this distrust because if God is so good and everybody who follows him is quote unquote trying to be like God, and then this happens, it's just very confusing, I think.
Yeah.
And so I like that exercise you did. I mean, we don't know what's going on with other people, but at the very least we can appreciate who God made us to be.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I'll reference a good colleague of mine, Dr. Alexander Jun. He wrote a book. He has a 3-part series, actually, from a Christian perspective on kind of this construct of white Jesus. Mm. And, you know, how does that play into how we view our Christian faith? And so, again, being aware, understanding who we are, the strength of who we are, Alice. And for all the listeners, I think it's really important because God did make us this way. And even if the churches aren't speaking to this, right, that doesn't mean that we aren't aware, that we aren't, that we need to be debilitated in our identity, mm-hmm. right? That actually God empowers us. And the more that we can live into the present moment, understanding that, I think gives us strength to move forward. Mm-hmm. Because trauma, I think, can derail mm-hmm. Us individually and derail our community. And I would hate to see that happen. I don't want us to suffer where the point that we can't speak up for ourselves. And that's super important. So there is that intersection. I think mindfulness does help us. There's good research on the fact that the practices help address things like stress, trauma, depression, anxiety. But more than that, right? How do we then live our life, right? How do we then determine what's important to us as Asian women? And how are we going to use our influence and power mm-hmm. to, you know, help maybe our parents, our cousins, our friends, our community, right? Yeah. Because they've done a lot for us as well.
Yeah. And it's interesting that you even use that word power, because I feel like the more I've gotten into this space of Asian women's issues, it seems like a lot of the talk is how we're, you know, victims and, you know, there's like this systemic racism. And I definitely agree that there is systemic racism, but I love the fact that you're saying that we also have power, and that's something to remember.
Yes.
So
absolutely. Be more aware of that power. Yeah. And don't let white supremacy take that power from you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, we got to dismantle some structures and it's going to take all of us.
Yeah. So true. I'm like getting shivers down my spine, but I love it. So I love that exercise you had of looking at people's faces on Zoom and appreciating our beauty. And, you know, that's something I haven't thought about in a long time. I see my children and I see how beautiful they are, you know? And so, but it is hard to live in a society where the concept of beauty is not focused on what we look like, right? Mm-hmm.
Well, that's all we have time for in this episode. Join us for part two when Dr. Regina shares some favorite mindfulness exercises. She teaches us how to use mindfulness to stop negative thinking, and she gives tips on how to quiet our brains enough to practice mindfulness. Talk to you soon.